Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Ashton.
Peter
is sick.
I was going to go into really, really grotesque detail there, but then I thought maybe actually that's inappropriate.
He's not very well today.
He's on the toilet. He's doing a big toilet.
He's on the toilet.
But hopefully he'll be back soon. He won't be here next week either, actually.
He's off
because
next week. He's got some
holobobs. He's booked it all off. He's away on holiday, so it's just the two of us today. This is actually the first podcast I think we've done together.
Just us.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I've done podcasts without Peter before.
We've done podcasts without you once.
Yeah, that happened because I was off.
Yeah.
But it's the first time for everything, and there's so much video game, singular, to talk about. Tell me about the hair, Ashton. What's going on?
Got drunk and dyed it red.
Yeah.
On Monday on Instagram Live.
And why was that?
Because Horizon comes
out. What do you do on Facebook Live? Come on, think of the business.
Well, because no one follows me on my personal Facebook
account. No, Triple Jump Facebook.
Well, I don't have that on my phone. Otherwise, maybe I would have. But yeah, Horizon Forbidden West comes out at time of recording 14 hours from now. And it will be out now. And
you'll be playing it.
When this comes out, I will probably be playing it and have been playing it for at least like 24 hours at this point. So I thought, you know, in honor of this week, why not just dye my hair a bit ginger?
Aloysten Matthews
is what people were calling me. It does. I missed significant bits of my hair. Bits of it are just brown, but luckily it's not too far away from my hair color before where it's really obvious. I think if I had like blonde hair and I'd missed bits, you would notice it more. But yeah, I did a bad job. But then again, I was just sat on my bathroom floor attempting to put it on myself while drinking gin. So
I say you did a pretty good job, all things considered.
Thanks.
Based on the gin consumption. I don't think I would want to do any kind of, what's the term? Like a sort of makeover? Any kind of makeover stuff while inebriated? Like I wouldn't trim my beard while drunk, for example.
Well, no.
Because it would go horrifically wrong, I'm sure.
But I kind of needed some liquid courage to do it.
Really?
I decided to do it. I said, I'm going to do this. And I bought the dye.
If you were sober, you wouldn't have done it.
I probably would have talked myself out of it.
Oh, that's
But I thought, if I have a glass of gin, I won't talk myself out of it.
And are you happy with the result?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, then you should trust your instincts a bit more.
To be honest, I think I'm quite an impulsive person anyway. And I think I really need something to go really, really wrong for me. Just make me just sometimes second guess maybe I shouldn't do it.
So you're tempting fate here.
Basically, yeah.
What was the worst case scenario for your hair in this situation?
That it falls out, I guess.
Right, I suppose that would have been no more hair would have been, yeah, pretty bad.
Probably pretty bad.
Is that possible with the dye that you bought?
Probably not. I don't know.
You really
if I left it on for too long.
Impressive then.
If I left it, because it said, do not leave it on for longer than 35 minutes.
Okay.
But it took me like 10 minutes once I'd started the top to do the bottom. So I was like, dear.
Kind of
a bit cheeky.
It's going to fall out.
But yeah, nothing fell out. But bits are missing.
Nah,
basically.
It'll be fine. You can top it up next time.
Whatever.
With whichever other video game waifu you decide to adopt next into your heart.
I don't know who's next. It would be Tiny Tina, I guess, is the next one after Aloy is the next kind of big.
Yeah, she was she blonde?
But she's blonde. And that's yeah, a bit
we can't.
Too scary.
We can't have two of those. That's no. Illegal. That's not allowed.
No, we people would think we're the same person.
Exactly, yeah. Indistinguishable. Especially if you had a beard as well. Then yeah. It'd be like
if the, I let my beard
the blonde
out.
Guy with the beard.
Yeah, if I let my beard grow out mm-hmm. a bit more, and then
same guy.
Same guy.
Absolutely the same person. This is our video game podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Each and every week, we are sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. It's my turn. I have the ad read in front
of
me
I'm
now.
I'm excited.
So they're a bit slow to the punch. Is that right? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Bit slow to the punch?
Yeah.
Yeah?
There is. I don't know if that is the phrase, but it's. I can't think of what it is.
To beat someone to the punch.
Beat someone to the punch, yeah.
So they're a bit slow.
But that's
slow
a bit
off the
slow,
mark.
Bit slow off the mark, I think.
Let's go for that.
Phrase.
Just combining yeah. idioms. They're a bit slow off the mark. Nintendo think that it's Valentine's Day today.
Oh.
But it's not.
That
obviously,
was on Monday.
It was on Monday. Stupid.
Silly.
Stupid idiot.
Stupid idiot.
And to whoever reported our hunky boy list as inappropriate, go to hell.
How could you?
There was no nudity in it at all. It was just heavily implied. We are sponsored by Nintendo's new Pokemon Legends title. We've done a Quipscope on it. Pokemon Legends
Arceus.
Because we can't say Arceus because that's crude and disgusting. Mm-hmm. So special Valentine's clothing line. They're doing a special Valentine's Day clothing line to do with the game to tie in. It's called Pokemon Legends Arceus Chaps. Did you?
When you started talking, I was like, I think I know
he's
what.
Gonna do.
I think I've heard of this.
He's going to do an arc ass joke, isn't he?
I think he's going to go for Arceus Chaps.
Yeah, so Pokemon Legends Arceus Chaps are available right now in the world.
Are
the
they
shop.
Also arseless chaps?
No. They're
so
arceless
how is it arceless? What is it missing?
You just have to buy it and find out.
Oh, okay.
It's only arseless in certain regions.
Oh, okay.
Because I've still heard a huge split of people calling it Arceus and Arceus.
So in some areas, it's arseless chaps.
They are arseless chaps, but in the UK, it's arceless chaps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Where can I buy them?
Nowhere, actually, because it's not real.
Oh.
Sorry.
Damn.
Sorry, it's not real. It's not a real sponsor.
I was going to rock those to work next week.
The arceless chaps.
The arceless chaps.
Fantastic. It's a bit too cold for that.
It is a bit too cold.
We are actually sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you get access to the podcast question post, as well as everything else that we do at that tier. People are stomping around upstairs. But there's loads of other tiers available. Please consider going and supporting us at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. But that's not all, is it, Ashton?
No, it's not, Ben. Thank you so much for passing over in such a normal manner. You should go and follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/teamtriplejump.
Yes.
To like the page. And if we get to 10,000 likes, we can monetize our content and it would really, really help us out. We're really close now, I think. We've got like 8 point something.
Yes. We're closing in on a victory.
Victory Royale.
So if you're listening and you haven't done it yet and you have Facebook, please do consider going.
Tell your mum as well. I'm sure
your mum has Facebook. What are you doing up there?
people are like, oh, I haven't got Facebook anymore. Which, I mean, fair enough. Like, who our age does have Facebook? But
I
your mum does.
Have Facebook. Your mum does have
your
Facebook.
Your mum definitely has
so
Facebook.
So does your aunt.
So does your aunt.
So does your weird uncle.
Yeah.
Your racist weird uncle.
Yeah. So. I mean, and look, we don't necessarily want him as part of our audience, no. But if it came to it,
we just need to bolster the numbers, right?
He's just one racist uncle out of 10,000 regular people.
Exactly. I think 9,999 of us could take one racist uncle.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll be all right. Anyway, go follow the page. Please. It's time for question one.
Yeah, I'm doing it this week because Peter's not here.
He's not here.
This comes from Gabrielle Philippink. And Gabrielle asks, hello, BAP.
Hello.
It's just actually BA today.
BA.
What was the most disappointing or underwhelming boss fight or level in a game you've ever completed, whether it was due to how easy it was or how predictable the pattern was? Thank you all. Thank you for all that you do, and I'm proud to continue to be a podcast producer.
Thank you so much, Gabrielle. I'll forget to say your name shortly.
Later. Yes. I only had one boss fight that I remember completing in recent memory, where I remember going, this sucks. And we've talked about this before.
Okay.
And you're going to know it. Like, you're going to have the same reaction that I did. A Plague's Tale. Boss fight. Oh, sucks. Yes.
No, that's a very good point.
So bad. It wasn't even necessarily like... I mean, the pattern was kind of predictable and boring. And it was just weird. But it was also the fact that sometimes you'd not really have a choice whether you were going to get hit or not. You'd end up kind of stuck in a corner because of where they'd put the rats. And you were just kind of like, well... Yeah. I don't have a choice. I'm just going to have to get hit because you've trapped me here and there's no alternative route out. Mm. I just remember playing that boss fight. I think I did it twice because I died the first time. And just being like, this sucks.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No,
either.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's can we spoil that game now? It's been nearly a year since it went on Plus.
Yeah, the second one's maybe
longer.
Coming out soon. So
it's just...
Why does the Pope man... have rat power.
Why does he turn into rat Jesus? I mean, your brother is already rat Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got this sort of like Sith Lord evil
Popey man.
Pope boy who's like infused with like negative rat energy.
Yeah.
And so he summons these spires of rats and like slams like Sandman from Spider-Man.
Mm.
Just like turns into, he's got like fists made of rat. It's so stupid.
Weird. And then like you have to, he's like trying to hit you with these rat pillars, and then you have to avoid them for long enough so that your brother, little baby boy, baby rat Jesus, he can like send some rats his way.
Yeah.
So that rats can attack him, but why is he not immune to rats if he's rat god?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
And he does three attacks and then he gets tired.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just the fact that it jumps the shark massively and makes absolutely no sense.
Mm.
But also because it's just a really boring boss fight.
It's
like,
one, two, three,
I'm tired now, you can hit me. One, two, I'm
Send
tired.
In the rats, child.
Quick rat Jesus.
Quick rat Jesus.
Eat him.
Do it. And then you shoot him with a couple of... Well, you don't even have any weapons either, so it's mainly you just kind of running around.
I've like written it out of my brain. I think my brain sort of melted that... that weekend that I played it anyway, just because there was a massive heat wave.
Yeah, that was a hot weekend.
It was like, I was so... By the time I finished that game, I was so cross.
Yeah, but the lead up to it as well is also like, crap.
Oh, what, hiding behind the caravan?
The caravan.
The worst part of... Yeah, that's the worst part of that game.
And then you just kind of go, oh, good, a boss fight. We'll finish this game. And then you're like, oh, a boss fight. I get it.
It's 600 degrees outside and I am tired.
I'm so tired.
Please, rat Jesus, put
me
out of my misery.
Yeah.
We harp on it, but it's like it's a really good game and it's very promising for a sequel, but it ends so poorly.
It's like they were doing really well and then they kind of got to a point where they were like, oh,
we've got to turn it into a video game.
We've got to end this game somehow.
Mm.
And they were like, oh, just give it to the intern. He can figure out the end. And then you just have the last like chapter and a half where you're like, oh, okay.
Rat fists?
Rat fists. Not rat Jesus.
No.
But that's the only one that I could think of where I've sat through a boss fight and kind of gone, yeah, this sucks.
Mm.
I don't think, now this is something I didn't talk about much when we came out. I don't think I enjoyed Kane of Bridge of Spirits' final boss.
Yeah.
Very much. I think it was interesting and it had like interesting mechanics, but I just remember kind of being like, okay. Like it takes all the rots off you and then immediately you get them back. So it was kind of a bit like, I get what they were trying to do, but it didn't work as well as I think the rest of the game worked.
It's a really long boss fight as well.
It is. It has like multiple stages. But like I think it wasn't like disappointing. It was just kind of a bit underwhelming, I think, Kane has won. But Plague's Tale, that sucked.
Yeah, it was rubbish. I hope that part of me hopes they top it with something even more ridiculous this time.
Yeah, me too.
One giant rat covered in lots of small men.
Mega rat.
A pillar of tiny men. That's what I want to see.
A big rat controlling children.
Yeah, exactly.
Slamming piles of children down on you.
Sounds like something from Little Nightmares.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, honestly. I've got a couple in a similar vein to... probably Kena, in that at the time and in subsequent playthroughs, it's never taken me out of the experience, but I totally understand the criticism of it. But the final boss in Uncharted 2, it suddenly goes very video gamey, and you're being chased around this area by Lazarevich, the war criminal who you've been, just pissing off for 10 hours or whatever. And you've got to shoot him and then he'll go past these big glowing blue things and then you shoot the big glowing blue things and they explode and he goes, "Oh, Drake!" And then he chases after you again. You've got to do it four times and then he dies. And it's just weird. Like, it just kind of, it's a strange way to end the game. Again, similarly, where it's like they did so well up until that point and then they were like, "Oh, crap. We need to put a boss fight in." And the boss fight in the first game, I think, was even worse because if you were out of cover and he saw you, it was just an instant, like a one-hit kill.
Oh, really?
You just got shot and died and you had to do it again from a checkpoint. And it was, yeah. Naughty Dog have a weird relationship with boss fights. And I think they worked it out by the time they hit Uncharted 3. And then The Last of Us and Last of Us 2 were, you know, great. Mm. But the final boss of Demon's Souls isn't so much a boss as like a little slug man.
Oh, I think you've talked about the little slug man before.
Yeah, he does it. He's got a sword, but he's kind of just lifts it up and goes, "Eh." And like, he might hit you with it, but it's not going to hit you very hard. And like, you kind of feel bad. Mm. But it's like the soul of the king is in this little slug man. And he's like, I'm going to reclaim my... You don't know what powers... You're messing with... And he's just flopping his rubbish sword around. And it's... Yeah, it's not... It's symbolic, but it is, after everything you've been put through, to have that as the final boss is kind of anticlimactic.
I always think that the issue some games have with boss fights is that, like, when it's a game like Uncharted, where it's kind of has a semblance of realism, like, you're not a character with any, like, magical powers, there's not, like, magic per se in the world, and then you just go, well, here's one guy versus... you know, another guy who's been bad the whole time and you have to kill him. And you're like, okay, well, that shouldn't be too hard because I've killed like a billion people on my way here. Like, people have gone down in one hit. I think The Last of Us 2 did it really well. Obviously with the final boss being how it was, where it was kind of like, I think it was really real. I think that's why people didn't like it.
It was awful. Yeah, it was like, enjoy it, but I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, because it's like, it's genuine, like, okay, if two human beings were fighting it out, you know, bad things are going to happen and you're going to eventually get tired. Yeah. Like, you're just a human being.
That wasn't very video gamey at all.
No, it wasn't.
It was a bit too real.
Yeah, I think so too. It was a bit kind of like, oh my God, can we finish? Are we done now?
Please, I don't want to do it.
But
in Uncharted's defense, though, you are fighting at the Tree of Life and Lazarevich has just drunk from the special sap that is also injuring him when it explodes. But he's like being imbued with, I need some of the Tree of Life. He's been imbued with like magical Shambhala powers or something like that. I don't know. Uncharted deals with a lot of like, it's a series that also kind of jumps the shark, but it does it with a wink and a nod where it's like, oh my God, we've been searching for artifacts and now there are blue people, big muscular blue people who have lived here for thousands of years. What is going on? There's Nazi zombies underneath the island. You know, it's
kind of similar to the Lara Croft new trilogy where they're like, big, massive stone soldiers that are wandering around.
And at
the end, you've been kind of...
It's a little bit fantastical.
Yeah, it is a bit. And that, I think, constitutes maybe being a better, like, boss fight than a game where they're like, you've just been running and shooting for the whole time. Now, this guy is immune to big bullets.
He's had his Nesquik. Can you kill him? Can you kill him with the special pop rocks? You can. But apart from that, Dark Souls 2 also had some... copy-paste bosses where it was the same boss you fought earlier, but now he's on fire and he's got a slightly different name. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, you just wanted more bosses, didn't you? Dark Souls 2 has all of the bosses and a good chunk of them are the same.
Right.
But with ice powers now, and it's a bit naff. But I think Plague Tale's a good shout. Final boss of Demon's Souls is a bit rubbish as well, but there we are. Thank you for the question. It's time to move on, Ashton, isn't it?
Yeah, segment we've never done before, so it's a real shame that Peter's not here to experience it for the first time.
What a silly ploppy boy.
It's time for What We Playin'.
It's time for What We Playin', where we talk about what we playin'. That sounded wrong. I swear I say that differently most of the time, but I could.
It's what we play in time. Time to talk about what we play in is what you normally say. Is that not what you just said?
Well, I don't know.
I think you just had a little bit of less enthusiasm this time.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's time for what we play in. Oh. Ashton, what are you playing?
I've not played a lot this week because I'm in a bit of a funk this week.
Yeah, you're waiting for your beloved.
Horizon comes out tomorrow, and I'll talk about this in question two, to be fair, so I won't go into too much. But I wasn't really sure what to play. I was kind of been fumbling around a bit. Mm. So I played a bit of Astro's Playroom. I'd finished like most of it, but I hadn't got the platinum in like the actual game itself where you had to like do the kind of couple challenges. So I did that, I got the platinum, and then I did a couple of the speed runs and then I got bored, so I didn't finish them. I played some Borderlands 2. We've finished most of the DLCs now. I think we're on the Captain Scarlet one now.
Yeah.
So we'll probably finish that before.
Not the one we set a speed run record in.
No. No, not that
different
one.
Captain Scarlet.
A different one. And I also played a bit of Little Nightmares 2, but I'm at this bit of the game which I think is the spookiest part of any of the Little Nightmares. I say any, either of the Little Nightmare games. Mm. It's basically this bit where you're in a hospital and all the lights are off and the mannequins in the hospital will like move when the lights are off.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You've got a torch. So you have to shine the torch at them to like stop them from moving. But they're like crawling along the floor or like running at you. And I'm just there with my torch like...
I don't want that one.
So... So I kind of kept getting stuck and I went, I don't want to play this right now. It's too scary. I played it before Christmas and then I hadn't picked it back up again just for like various reasons and didn't remember that the moment that I left it off at was this like mannequin bit with the like torch and the moving people. Mm. So when I picked it up, I was like, I don't want to do it.
God, it's this bit.
And I realize I've got horrible depth perception. So sometimes when you're like having to run towards the camera and things are coming out like either side and you have to try and avoid them, the amount of times I just kind of thought I was past them and just walked straight into like a hand that grabbed me and pulled me into a cupboard. And I was like,
right.
Oh, I thought I was already past that. I don't understand.
So,
I've been playing a bit of Little Nightmares 2, but I am cautiously going through the bit that I'm going through. It's taken me a while. I kept having to like stop and watch some TikToks to like make myself feel happy and then go back to what I was doing.
I don't think I'd ever played that game.
No.
Full stop. Peter did a playthrough on stream and I watched him play it, but that I would never. It's not my idea of fun. It's a bit too much.
It's definitely spookier than the first one, Little Nightmares 2 is, and I think it leans into a lot of what Little Nightmares 1 did really well and does it even better and is even spookier. I also like that you could change hats.
Yeah, the hats are good.
Yeah.
I do like the hats.
So that's what I've been playing this week. But when this podcast comes,
yeah, Horizon's nearly here.
Yeah.
Horizon will be here now.
Yeah. So I will be playing that, more on that next week and probably in the Quips Go that we put out yesterday.
Yes. Go check that out.
Yes. We've been playing, Ben.
Well, I've been playing all sorts. I've played Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep. I couldn't let it go. I saw it had a platinum trophy, mm-hmm. and I thought I'd really like to get this. But then I looked at the requirements, and it takes ages to level up, like so long. And then you've got to do level one of all of the challenges, which is the same for a lot of the trophies are similar from Borderlands 2.
Is it all the challenges from Borderlands 2, or do they limit the list a bit? Because I feel like if it's all the same like challenges, that is a lot to do in just one DLC of a game.
I think it's mostly there.
Wow.
But a lot of the, obviously the map specific ones. And in fact, it's a trophy for all, I think maybe combat related challenges.
Yeah, it's not any of the map ones.
So you don't need to do any of the map ones. There is stuff like kill such and such a character who's a somewhat rare spawn that's probably exclusive to the DLC and not in the main game. So there's a few. Basically, you've got to use all the weapons, do all the action skills, use all the grenades, use all the shields, but it takes ages. And a lot of them are, in order to, some of the challenges are hidden. So you have to get to level 5 of a certain challenge. So it's not just getting to level 1 of a challenge. You've got to get to level 5 of some of them. And so level 5 of some of them is a bit of a pain in the ass. Mm. But I did get the platinum trophy. I did it. It took me a while, but it was quite nice. On Saturday night, I got a bit drunk. And then on Sunday, I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself. Mm. And I just sat there because I've got two televisions, right? Because I'm living the high life. And on one of them, I had Parks and Rec. Good. And on the other one, I had Tiny Tina on mute. And I just sat there in silence all day and just played Borderlands. And it was actually quite nice.
Kind of a dream, I think, sometimes.
It was lovely. I didn't have to use my brain at all. So I got that platinum. But I wasn't just satisfied with that. I also bought myself My Name is Mayo 2.
Okay.
Got that platinum trophy.
Fun.
My Name is Mayo 1 is legendary in the platinum community.
Is that the banana one?
No.
That's My Name is Pedro.
Yeah, there's that one. But I think there might be a bit in My Name is Mayo because basically you tap on a jar of mayonnaise.
I see.
Like there's a jar of mayonnaise and you press the X button to tap on it and there's a little hand that goes tuk, 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 and you have to tap on the jar of mayonnaise a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the platinum trophy. And it does have a sense of humor about itself in that it like puts in these love stories of the jar of mayonnaise and it like the various amazing lives that the jars of mayonnaise have lived. And you ignore all of it, basically. And all that happens is the jar of mayonnaise is maybe dressed in slightly different clothing or the background right. changes slightly. But then there's like a little caption that gives you more information. It's really daft. But that's 99p.
Mm-hmm.
Got that platinum. Downloaded a game from my friend's account called The Ketchup Story, which is another very easy platinum trophy after he said, oh, yeah, super easy. Just nick it from my account. So I did. And again, you just have to sort of press buttons. And it's like an auto clicker game.
Right.
And you can get the platinum in about 5-6 minutes. But I wasn't done there.
Oh my gosh.
I've also had this game downloaded for a long time called Lady in a Leotard with a Gun. And it is very cheap. And it is the definition of my first Unity game.
Right.
Where it's a third person over the shoulder shooter, but the models are really stiff. And the AI for the enemies, they just sort of like walk at you like they're robots. And it's crap. Like it's really bad. But I was, believe it or not, I was saving it.
Right.
Because I wanted to do it for like a milestone platinum stream, perhaps. I was reorganizing, my life is so busy.
Yeah.
And I have so much going on.
Of course.
I was reorganizing my console's downloaded games, and I've got a second hard drive in my PS5 now, which is where I put all my PS4 games. But I still had some PS4 games on the main hard drive where the PS5 games were, so I deleted them from there and was re-downloading them. Then I saw Lady in a Leotard with a Gun, which had long since disappeared off the front screen of my PS5. Mm-hmm. And I remembered it was there, and I thought, I can't be asked. I don't want this on my console anymore. So I got the platinum in that. But I wasn't done.
Oh, my God. How did you have time? How did you have time? You said you platinumed one game in 6 minutes.
Yeah, three of those games took me maybe an hour and a half. This one I got last night.
Okay.
Journey to the Savage Planet.
Okay.
I got the platinum trophy in that last night. And the final few that I didn't have were to scan all the creatures,
mm-hmm.
scan all the fauna and the flora, slap every creature,
right.
and complete the game in under 4 hours, which, you know, would require a second playthrough. Fortunately for the slapping and the scanning, you can do it with the boss, because you need to do it to the bosses as well, but it still counts if they're dead. So you don't have to do another playthrough while they're still alive and slap them about. So I followed a guide because I only had like four that I hadn't found across the flora and the creatures. And so I was able to just follow a guide for the specific flora that I needed. But for the slap one, I didn't know which ones I hadn't slapped. So I had to follow a full guide to slap and scan every single creature. And then I followed a brilliant video guide for the complete it in under 4 hours trophy, and I did it in you can do it in about 50 minutes.
Oh, really?
Because all you need is 5 fuel to refill your ship.
Yeah.
And then you can get the bad ending by blasting off before completing any story at all.
Oh, okay.
So you just need to fit the bare minimum objective to leave the planet, and that's the game finished. Even if you don't continue playing and go to all the areas and find the world seed or whatever it is that you're doing. So there we are. Those are my platinum trophies. I have 3 FMV Wales Interactive games that are also on the chopping block for platinums because they are really easy. You just follow a guide about which buttons to press,
basically.
Are those
the ones that we played at that one time at your house?
Yes. Yeah, we played the complex.
Everyone shot by accident.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You did do that. So they're FMV games. Really, they're basically interactive movies with real actors and stuff, but they're always sort of a level of quality that is... subpar. And they're really enjoyable for that reason. So I've got a few of those. However, Elden Ring's coming out really soon. Horizon's practically here, and it's all kicking off. I don't know.
It's a busy month.
I don't know if I'm going to have time to get those in, but I wanted to get Journey to the Savage Planet in before Elden Ring, and I've done that. So there we are.
Fair.
That's what I've been playing.
Have you seen, there's like a similar kind of game on Xbox Game Pass called Telling Lies. That's not, I don't think it's not Wells Interactive, but it's a FMV game. And it looks pretty good. Apparently it's really good.
Is it actually really good?
I don't know.
I don't think there are any good FMV games. No, I think they're just sort of a level of, crappiness that makes them
quite
enjoyable.
But it has quite a famous actress in it. She played Storm in the X-Men movie, the young Storm. She's in it. And she was in the Tick, Tick, Boom movie recently. But she's in it. She's quite...
She can act.
She can act, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, she's got stuff going on.
Is she working with good material, though? Who knows?
We'll have to play it and find out.
We will have to play it and find out.
It's time for question two.
Yes, it is.
Your turn to do question two today.
It is my turn to do question two today. This is from Pope McGee. Hope you had a good birthday
this week.
Pope McGee. Orit Triple Jump people, do you guys or gals ever play nice little indie games to have a break from massive AAA titles? I just finished Oxenfree, and next up is After Party. Good games, good choice. I find these games really refreshing and they make me happy and good and cool. Keys.
I think normally, depending on how long I've got between AAA games, I will kind of pick up games that I've had like left behind for a little while. So there's like, I haven't played any of the Uncharted games. So like next on my list is Final Fantasy VII Remake. So I think I'm kind of trying to catch up on a lot of AAA games still. So I tend to go for one of those. But right now, specifically, I'm in a bit of a game funk because I know a game's coming out and I hate the period of like waiting when like, you know this feeling when you know you've got something to do today and you're like, well, I can't do anything now because if I go do something now, I'm only going to have an hour because I need an hour to get ready and an hour to go and get there. Well, I feel like that with Horizon at the moment. Okay. I'm like, I don't want to start anything because I know as soon as Horizon comes out, I'm just going to play Horizon for as long as it takes me to finish it. So I'm like, I don't want to bother starting something new because I'm not going to have time to like finish it. But also, I don't know what to do with myself. I keep sitting there. I'm like, I don't know what to play. I don't know what to do with my. I'm just sat there. I'm like, I don't have anything to watch. I don't have anything I want to play right now. I just want Horizon and it's not here yet. What is going on?
There is a sense of panic, isn't there? Where it's like, what if I can't finish this thing and then it has to go on the shelf for.
Exactly. That's 2 months, my thing. Right? And also because of how big Horizon is, I don't want to install anything new on my PlayStation just in case, you know, she takes up too much. But like, there is games that I could go back and play and I sometimes do go for like. Go on Xbox Game Pass and just find a little indie game that I haven't played yet. Or I tend to go for a kind of a multiplayer game because I think when I'm feeling a bit like if I've just played a big single player campaign, quite like to play a bit of multiplayer game for some bit. So like, what was it? Nobody Saves the World. That's a bit of an indie game and that's multiplayer. So I quite enjoy that one. I think it depends. I don't think I have like a specific pattern of what game I go to. It's kind of whatever takes my fancy at any one point. I think I keep finding myself playing sim games. So like Evil Genius 2 or The Sims or Planet Zoo, which I never kind of was into when I was younger. Like I'd never had the patience to like play a game like that. But now I think more so I just sit and I'll just be like, now go and invade that country, or now we're going to build a new room. How fun for me. And I just sit there like for hours just building new rooms and stuff. And I know some people absolutely like, they love that kind of game, but it's really odd for me to kind of gravitate towards those kind of games. But it's been more so now I've been playing a lot more new games. I've kind of gravitated more towards games where I can just kind of switch my brain off and like just click around for a bit. So yeah, I don't have an indie games like library that I go to. I just kind of see where the mood takes me and see what happens. Depends how close I am to the next game coming out. Because if it's the 2 days before, apparently, I just shut down. Can't do it.
Just can't do it.
Can't do anything.
Absolutely useless.
Yes, I am.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with just indie games, though. I love a good, it's a palate cleanser as much as anything else. There have been numerous occasions, and this month the next couple of months will be that again with Horizon and Elden Ring, where I could potentially be finishing off one game and then diving right into another big, meaty adventure. But it can be quite exhausting. And I almost feel like sometimes this period now, this period where it's a couple of days until Horizon releases at the time of recording of one day, and it's a week until Elden Ring comes out.
And Cyberpunk's just got its upgrade.
Cyberpunk's just got its upgrade, and I've got that downloaded, and I want to play that too. I almost wish that it could sort of like, those games could stay 1 week away forever, because when they arrive, then I've got to play them, and it's a lot. Like, it feels overwhelming almost. Yeah. Like, we've spoken about it before, about how you can feel a bit overwhelmed by big new releases and stuff. And so part of me, I think that factors into this, where I have been filling my time with palate cleansers. But for me, those are usually crap, easy platinum games. But I do kind of wish that Elden Ring could stay 1 week away forever.
Just a couple more weeks.
In a weird way, as much as I'm really looking forward to it, I kind of don't want the wait to be over. And also, I don't know that I'm ready to play it yet, because I have other stuff that I feel like I need to play first, almost, even though I don't need to do anything. But in the past, I love a good walking simulator game. But I feel like I've played all the big ones now, and it's been a long time since there's been a significant one. I love Oxenfree and After Party. I think those two games are fantastic. And Oxenfree 2, I think, is maybe coming out this year. I'm not entirely sure. So that was... In fact, the entire reason I played Oxenfree was because it appeared in one of Rob Pearson's Friday features on PlayStation Access about, I think it was 7 games you can finish in one sitting. And I was like, fantastic. I love a game I can finish in one go. I need that right now. I need that. And Oxenfree jumped out the most to me, and it ended up being, you know, it's one of my favorite games. I think it's a phenomenal video game. And you can finish it in like 3 to 4 hours. So you can finish it in one sitting.
It's been on my list for a while, games that I've like had on my radar that just haven't got around to playing yet.
Yeah. So I want games like that. But that's the thing. They have to be short. It feels like a lot of indie games are getting bigger in scope. And that's great for the medium, but isn't great selfishly for me, because I quite like a short bite-sized experience, you know, narratively focused ideally. So yes, I do that, but I haven't done that for a while. And I've also been in a funk this month, as we've spoken about on previous podcasts, where I just haven't felt that enthused about playing video games in general, which is why I've been playing a lot of multiplayer stuff, which I think is also a good palate cleanser as well. Just playing some games, you know, simple party games with friends and stuff, like that also works to break things up.
I think as well, like, if I don't know specifically what game I want to play, I get so overwhelmed by how many games there are that I'm like, I don't know what game to play. Like, I have so many games on my radar, and then I go onto like Xbox Game Pass or onto my Steam or PlayStation Library, and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much on here. Like, I don't know where to even start with this. I don't even know where to like begin, what game I should pick. And I always get quite overwhelmed by like the sheer amount of games. If there's not something specific that I'm going like, today I'm going to play Oxenfree, then I will sit there and I'll be like, I don't know. I don't know. And I just turn it off. But that's the same, I think, with like movies and TV shows as well. I'm kind of like, it's too much. I don't know what to play. I don't know what to watch. I'm overwhelmed. Someone just pick one for me.
You just have to pick one and dive in.
So yeah. I think playing like a smaller game is always kind of a nice palate cleanser, but it is that kind of getting yourself to be like, right, we're going to play something in between the game that I want to play. But I think like right now, like you said, this month is already busy and it's the shortest month of the year. So, you know, my brain is already focused on one game. When that finishes, I will sit in silence for a day, and then I will maybe figure out what else I'm going to do with the rest of my month. So yes, thanks Pope, but we don't know. We don't know sometimes.
Just got to...
Maybe.
Yeah, it depends, I suppose, is the real answer. But yes, I've done that in the past. It's time to move on to something a little bit strange.
A little bit peculiar, perhaps. It's time for weird news.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore.
Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Ashton, what weird news do you have this week?
Have you realised what you've just done?
It's time to talk about the podcast producers. If you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, you can support us at a certain tier and become a podcast producer. You'll get a shout out right now. You'll bring us weird news officially. Kick us off, Ashton.
Alex McDonald.
Caden Agrinox.
Checkered Omega.
Sean Legg.
G.Y. Goliath.
Ellie Nicholas.
Oh, mine's gone in a weird... Okay. Erica Hutchinson.
You good?
Yeah.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Stephen Skodes.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Katie Garrett or Jared.
And Corey Duffel. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, podcast producers.
Those are your podcast producers this week. Ashton, what's your weird news?
My weird news comes from me. I found it on my own. And by that, I mean, I kept seeing it and I wanted to talk about it. So we are. This comes from Michelle Gavorsky on Daily Dot.
Oh.
Ever heard of that one before?
No.
Me neither. And the headline is, someone has never been within 5 feet of a woman. People mock gamer for questioning Peach Fuzz on female character. Peach Fuzz is perfectly normal.
Explain Peach Fuzz for people Peach who might not be, for that gamer in particular.
It's basically kind of the women's version of facial hair. Like, it's like blonde and like, it's not kind of...
It's fluffy.
It's not beard hair. No, it's like soft and it's not kind of wiry at all and you can't normally see it. It's more obvious on women when they've got a tan, or especially white women, because when we got a tan, the hair gets bleached and your skin goes brown and you can see it a bit more. But every woman has peach fuzz. Some women choose to shave it off. Some women choose to embrace it. I just see what happens, see where the mood takes me.
Dye it on the floor of your bathroom
next
after
time
a few
I'll
gins.
Dye it all red and we'll really see it.
Just don't blight it, okay? Don't dye it blonde.
Aloy, the red-haired heroine of Horizon Forbidden West, is no stranger to having her design and appearance criticised by mostly male gamers who take issue with a female character whose looks are anything short of model-like perfection. Days ahead of the game's release on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, misconceptions about women's bodies have made their way online again. Some players are criticising Horizon Forbidden West for including a detail that many women have. A move that resulted in them being dunked upon.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the article? Oh, there's a drop down, I see.
Better watch an advert first.
Yeah. Thanks to several factors such as a higher resolution and a new gaming console, Guerrilla Games, the studio behind Horizon Forbidden West, can include more graphics in its characters and Horizon Forbidden West's post-apocalyptic America than ever before. As Guerrilla's narrative director Ben McCaw explained in September 2021 blog post on PlayStation's website, this allows them to render and bring that kind of detail to life, with texture details and peach fuzz being just a couple of examples listed. Each generation of consoles brings extra power and lets us add even more denser polygons to our character models so we can create finer details such as peach fuzz, smooth contouring and finer texture details and accurate material expression, to name just a few. McCall said, for Aloy, the peach fuzz appears on her face and it's light and barely visible. It's an aspect of her facial features akin to freckles or laugh lines, just one of those things that a character like Aloy would have, because many women also have peach fuzz on their face. But for some gamers, it appears that the fact that women have peach fuzz on their faces was news. So much so that at least one person, which there's the post has kind of gone viral, but it's definitely been said by more people. So much so that at least one person seemed to think that Aloy's peach fuzz was actually a beard. Can you explain to me why the hell Aloy has a beard? The post reads in the English translation. The tweet made its way onto other sites, including Reddit. The criticism over Aloy's peach fuzz is in a similar vein to the Aloy fan art that made her look like a sexist caricature last year. Do you remember that? When they like gave her like makeup and blusher and eyelashes.
No,
and,
I didn't see that.
They basically were like, this is what game women in games look like now. And it was obviously Aloy in this, you know, post-apocalyptic America where she's fighting monsters and bad guys all the time. And then they were like, this is what we want her to look like. And it was like this airbrushed version of her with like big eyelashes and like absolutely nothing kind of, you know, wrong with her. It's highlighting a feature that they feel is off or makes the character look less feminine. Vellus hair, a more scientific name for peach fuzz, is something most people have all over their body. For cisgender women, that also includes their face. You could also say like arm hair is kind of peach fuzz because it's a similar kind of like texture to it and stuff. While the dunks took many shapes and came in many forms, they more or less had the same theme. But this person who commented on Aloy's beard has zero idea that what peach fuzz is and questions whether the person ever met a woman.
Yeah.
So they've put some posts in. They've put, breaking. This comes from Kian Maher on Twitter. Breaking. Gamer accidentally proves he has never been within 10 feet of a woman before. And then some other people going, tell me you've never been up close to a woman. Without telling me you've never been close to a woman, this dude will go first. To his credit, props this guy for clearly never having violated his 500-foot restraining order. Just calling him, you know, a virgin.
Which there's nothing wrong with, to be clear.
But, like, you know, you don't need to out yourself so aggressively on Twitter when, you know, posting things like that.
You can be a virgin and not a sexist.
You can be a virgin and not a sexist. You know, I'm not calling all virgins sexist, but some virgins happen to also be sexist, and that might be the reason why.
Yeah. I think is what they're called.
Yes, an incelibate, indeed. It's incredibly easy to dunk on the person who has an issue with peach fuzz, but it's just one more instance of highlighting a rather silly idea born from beauty standards of a narrow idea of what a female video game character should look like. Whether digitally removed, physically removed, or just not rendered in graphics, and designing female characters with peach fuzz was probably low on the list, some people may have gotten the impression that women just didn't have peach fuzz. And while Aloy's peach fuzz won't affect the game, it's a clear example of just how much some gamers are uncomfortable with seeing characters in a game that look anything short of a fantasy. So there.
I can't argue with anything said in that.
No, I had to pick. So there was another article written by on another website, and I won't name the website, where like she absolutely like tore into this boy. This whole narrative, a new one, and was like just absolutely going into him. And I went, I'm gonna find another like less aggressive one.
I agree
with everything you're saying.
It's not really appropriate for the podcast.
Yeah, so that's the kind of, that one was the more kind of diplomatic one of being like, yeah, it's happening and it's kind of funny, but the other one was just like, we hate this guy, he sucks.
It's just, there's been so much discussion around Aloy and or Aloy's appearance with this sequel. And by discussion, I mean, there's been a very vocal minority who are clearly just, I mean, I don't even know how to do, just awful people who obsess over every little detail in the same way that you can, it's not a huge stretch of logic to imagine that they would about real women as well. And it's just kind of, we've reached that point with video game graphics where Aloy, a fictional character, gets criticized for the same stuff that real women do.
Just for looking like a real woman, people were like, how dare you? It's the same thing that happened with The Last of Us with like
I'd say
Abby.
The Venn diagram is more of a circle, really,
yeah, I
of
think
these,
so
of
too,
these people.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where like people were so annoyed that Abby looked so masculine because they were like, women can't look masculine.
Muscular women. I don't know what's the issue there, really.
They are hot. But like, yeah, it's crazy. It's just one of those things where you think like, Well, my peach fuzz and me are quite content, actually. So thanks very much for you outing yourself as someone who I don't want to talk to.
If anything, it means that you're just as capable as Aloy is.
Exactly.
If she and her peach fuzz can do that, yeah, so can you.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. Hashtag hacking giant robot dinosaurs.
Hashtag climbing up a sheer rock face without a rope and not dying.
Easy.
I could do that.
My weird news is a little less exciting than that. And it was also found by Ashton, so sorry, that was like a backhanded compliment to you. My weird news isn't actually not that good, and Ashton found it. yeah. It comes from Kotaku and Zach Zweizen. Someone already modded Carby into, is that what he's called? Into Mario Kart 8.
I think that's what people are calling him.
Okay. The moment Kirby sucked up
a car... You need to read the subtitle because, you know, it's good.
Thanks to one talented and fast modder, Kirby's Mouthful Mode is now in Nintendo's Kart Racer.
Mouthful Mode. They named it that.
Mouthful Mode.
They chose that headline. Mouthful Mode.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The moment Kirby sucked up a car in the latest Nintendo Direct, things changed. The internet is now filled with countless memes starring Carby, the name of Kirby when they have a giant car in their mouth. So it's not surprising that after only a few days, someone has brought Carby into Mario Kart 8 via modding. The Carby mod was created by Riazer MC and posted to their YouTube channel and Twitter account yesterday. It quickly went viral. Folks were impressed by just how great the mod looks, especially considering the short amount of time Riazer MC had to create it and get it working. It also helps that the creator uploaded the video with a banger music track. What are you talking about, Zach? That always helps, he goes on to say. Also, that song is now stuck in my head for the next few days. What?
I don't know what song it is.
As for...
We have to meet this, Kieran.
Oh, bloody hell. Right, actually, we can't actually play that because Nintendo will copyright strike the entire channel.
I like the video where his little, Kirby's little feet are just kind of wafting in the wind.
Yeah, they're just like dog's ears. That's the entire story. Yeah. It goes on for another two paragraphs, but there is nothing said of any import there. So
I was saying to the guys in the office earlier, because a Nintendo Direct was after we recorded the last podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on a Thursday evening. Yeah, yes, Thursday evening. We missed it.
I was watching it while I was kind of doing something else, but I had it like unmuted and was just kind of sitting it on my lap. And I looked down just as the Kirby advert like began. And
Carby.
Well, this was when he was Kirby, pre-Carby. And he just inhaled this car and it popped up on the screen as Mouthful Mode. And I was saying, I have never in my life had such a visceral reaction to a video game trailer ever. It could be the biggest announcement that I've ever seen. But Mouthful Mode...
The Last of Us Part 3, introducing Mouthful Mode.
Like, I literally went... No. Just like, could not. I just couldn't
understand.
I was like, literally, like quaking in my boots. I was so shocked by
it. Is unbelievable, isn't it? I can't believe. I mean, they've catered to so many fetishes now. How many more depths can we plumb?
And I know that like Kirby's whole thing is like sucking things into his mouth.
Yeah, it
but
is.
I don't think I didn't expect when he sucked the car in to just become like just inhale the car.
Yeah,
and little wheels to pop out, and it's just he's now the car. Like I did not expect that, but oh man, it really is something.
It's weird.
I kind of want to play it. It's definitely made me want to play it, but my God.
Mouthful mode. Terrible.
It's quite something.
Absolutely terrible.
Let's have a question three, I think.
Let's move on to question three, Ashton.
This comes from David Lever. David says, hey, yeah. It's fun to stay at the BPA.
That doesn't work, David. There's not enough letters. No. But thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for trying. I've just platinumed a little game called Horizon Zero Dawn. Not sure if you've heard of it. I loved it and played it so much it started bleeding into my dreams and day-to-day life. I also once played Dishonored so much I started looking for stealth routes IRL. Have you guys ever played a game so much it started to bleed over into normal life? All the best, David. Well, David, my hair's currently ginger, so you could say yes.
I literally bled over this Dark Souls
tattoo.
Yeah,
you did.
But it's not, this isn't, not in the sense probably no. that David is saying. Have I had any daydreams about games you've been playing?
Daydreams? I have daydreams and night dreams about games that I want to play. Night dreams, nighttime dreams, you know, that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. And
sleep stories.
Sleep stories. Sleep films. I always have quite vivid dreams anyway, and they're always kind of wacky and stupid. But this week's not been about Horizon. I don't really know what's going on, but I keep being able to like manipulate matter in my dreams. Don't know what that's about. Can't figure out where that's come from.
It's only a matter of time before it manifests in reality as well, exactly. Like you can imagine.
Ugh, didn't work. Next time. I just keep trying. Yeah.
Nearly
made that light bulb like explode or something.
Yeah.
But I have dreams about Horizon recently quite a lot when I was playing through the first game again. Just various things, like it wouldn't even necessarily be that I'm like in the world, it'd just be like I'm just walking to work and like Aloy's just kind of hanging out and I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. How did you get here?
Hey Ashton.
Hey Aloy, how are you doing?
Good.
I said what, but yeah, sure.
Just hanging out in my sleep films.
Sleep films. Ah, cool. Me too. All right. Bye. Have fun. In Forbidden West.
I like your peach fuzz, Ashton.
I like your peach fuzz, Aloy. but yeah, I have had dreams about like games that I've been playing quite a lot. And I do sometimes find myself like, if I'm driving a car, I'd be like, oh God, if this was GTA, I'd just like drive all around the place.
I wish I could drive over this wall.
I wish I could drive over this wall. I wish that I could just like slam my car into something and there would be no consequences. I wish
drive up on the pavement, yeah. Get round a queue,
run over a couple of pedestrians maybe, but yeah, no they're bother. They'll be fine. Yeah,
they'll be all right. They're not real
people aren't real. So yeah, I often find myself kind of fixating on games, not even necessarily like just in daydreams. Sometimes I just find myself thinking about them all the time, 24/7. It's all I think about.
Yeah.
And Horizon Forbidden West, they're not helping me because they just keep showing me adverts on everything, on all over Twitter, all over any website I go on YouTube, on any adverts on TV. It's all Horizon.
Sleep films,
day films, all kinds of films. All Horizon. I hear like the PlayStation like noise when the logo comes up and I think, is this Horizon Forbidden West again? I'm going to yeet. And it's always
I'm going to yeet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was watching TV shows on the train on Friday for like 5 hours and every advert break, it was Horizon Forbidden West. Mm. And I was like, please, I'm already buying it. I can't keep thinking about it.
You're going to keep getting them after launch as well.
I wish I was about to be like, I've already bought this. Like I already have bought this. Please stop telling me to buy it. Mm. Because it's making me sad that I can't play it right now.
I was honestly... Mm. Not excited about Horizon, the new one. And that's not because I don't want to play it, but I've just felt this whole month of hype leading up to it. I haven't felt, maybe it's just been part of my like video game malaise that I've been in where I'm just not asked about stuff. It's the same reason I kind of want Elden Ring to keep being pushed further and further back, because I want to be really excited. But then, as soon as the reviews drop for Horizon, it suddenly felt real. And now that it's here tomorrow, I do actually want to play it.
I'm a bit... Okay, this is an unpopular opinion maybe, but I'm a bit annoyed at how much footage of gameplay that they've been allowed to put up in reviews. Mm-hmm. I don't know, obviously, like, it's important that people see gameplay for real and, like, actual people playing the game. But, like, I've seen so many spoilers of, like, things you can do in the game that I wish I hadn't been able to see. Like, I feel like, it's only 5 days before it came out, so fair enough, but I just kind of feel like I've seen too much of the game now. Like, people are posting about it all the time. I've seen like what the water physics look like. I've seen what kind of things you can, like mechanics you can do in the game. I've seen glimpses of like the story and I'm like, I don't want to see this. Like, don't just put clips on Twitter because I can't avoid it, because you're not like tagging Horizon. It's just like, putting being like, wow, this water looks great, and it doesn't like know that it's Horizon, because it doesn't just be like, this looks like a game. So I've seen so much like content, and I also think it's really not weird, but I've seen a lot of people go live today, so the day before it goes out, being like, we're gonna play some Horizon today, and I'm like, can you not? Like, because it's just going to go everywhere. And I can't keep looking at, like, my Twitter and just seeing so many, like, spoilers and stuff. So that's kind of annoyed me a bit. On the reverse of, like, your thing of, like, reviews, I've read reviews and I don't mind reading a review, but I've actively tried not to watch any review videos because, like, there's just so much content in it that, like, is kind of spoilery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's sort of a problem that extends to films as well. They show so much in the trailers. So much. But anyway, in terms of a game that's bled over into my real life, I have one specific example, because it has happened before, like when I'm just kind of obsessing over a game, you know, I think about it and I have my night films about it and stuff.
Yeah.
But Super Mario Land 2, the six golden coins on the Game Boy, I went on a holiday, and I think I've spoken about this on the podcast way back. I went on holiday with my friend, and his parents owned a boatyard that fitted narrow boats, right? Yeah, so like canal boats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had a canal boat, and I went on it for a holiday, like a Rosie and Jim adventure, right?
Cute.
Chugging along. On the old ragdoll.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I was bored out of my mind because I was stuck in a long, thin tube for like 2 or 3 days. And so I had my Game Boy Color and I had this Super Mario game. And I played so much of it that whenever there was any silence, all I could hear were the sound effects and the music. And it really scared me. And so I had to get my mum to take away the cartridge because I was like, this is messing with my brain.
There's a lot of self-control for a child.
Every time, I was scared because I didn't know what was going on. All I could hear was, because I don't think I have no fond memories of this game. No. I don't even know that I liked it that much, but I played it so much during this short few days.
So it's like imprinted on your like earlobe, so that was all you were going to hear.
All I could hear when I closed my eyes at night was this bloody theme, like all the music and stuff. And I was like, this is frightening. Will this ever stop? I don't like this. I need to please take the game away so it can stop hurting me. It was nightmares. It was like it really stuck around.
Bad sleep films.
In a way that, you know, wasn't positive. But there have been plenty of games where it's been like, you know, I've been at work and I've been thinking, I can't wait to go home and just play this game. Like, I just want to go home and play this game so bad. But Super Mario Land 2, six golden coins, was one that I was only too happy to get rid of.
It's more infested your life.
Too spooky for me. Number one horror game behind Final Fantasy VII, which also scared me as a child. Should we move on to the big discussion?
I think we shall.
It's time for it. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. Comes courtesy of Sputnik, who says, Horizon Forbidden West is arriving. You can tell you're in charge of picking the questions, aren't you?
There was a lot of questions about Horizon this week. I think like we got like, I don't know, 12 or 15 questions, and about 7 of them had at least the word Horizon. Zero Dawn.
So there's some restraint there.
Yeah.
Horizon Forbidden West is arriving soon, already been released at the time of release of this podcast. And I am thinking, who is going to spend the extra 10% or so to get the PS5 version of the game when the cheaper PS4 version includes a free upgrade to the PS5? Do you think this is poor marketing from Sony, or do you think it is a free upgrade only due to the shortage of PS5s compared to demand?
I think it is a bit dodgy what Sony have done with the pricing of Horizon Forbidden West, especially as you can't, if you like buying it via your PlayStation 5, you can't buy the PlayStation 4 version digitally. You have to go on the website to do it. So you can go in like on the browser storefront and buy the PS4 version and put it on your PS5. But if you go to buy it directly through your PS5, there's no option to get the PS4 version. You have to pay for like the $69.99 version.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit dodge.
It's not a little bit.
It's a big dodge.
It's big dodge.
I don't know why Sony have done it. I think it's a really weird decision to kind of just like sell two versions of the game. I mean, if you get getting the like physical copy and you want the PS5 box, you don't really have a choice. You're going to have to pay for it more. But if you're getting a digital copy or you don't mind what the box says, then you can obviously get the PlayStation 4 version. But I just don't understand why they are selling them for a different price when they're the exact same game.
They've done a horrible job with the cross-gen title prices. That, like, Xbox have been fantastic for this. And there have been a number of, you know, third-party releases that have free upgrades and stuff, Cyberpunk being the most recent example of that. Sony have already been very cheeky and ruffled feathers by charging a tenner for, what was it? There was Ghost of Tsushima. There was, I've got it here. The Uncharted collection has just come out.
Oh, the Thieves Legacy.
Yeah, they wanted a tenner. If you own either of the original games, pay us a tenner and we'll let you have the nice new one. And it's that doesn't happen on Xbox. And that ruffled feathers anyway. So it feels like here, they've gone, oh, okay, well then we won't charge you a tenner this time. But But the PS5 version is £10 more expensive. It's like, no, that's not you've done a different thing, but you've still got it wrong. Mm-hmm. How can you change tact and still get it so wrong? It would make more sense if they stuck to their guns and were and you know, it was the same price on both of them, but they said it's a £10 upgrade. That is our policy. Upgrades are £10. But they've just gone a different approach that's just as weird. It doesn't make sense.
And also in the PlayStation 4 version of the game, on the when you buy it, it's in really tiny letters, it says, and you get free PS5 upgrade.
Hey, you get free PS5
if you, upgrade. Just in case you didn't. Don't tell anyone, but you can get a free PS5.
It's a secret.
By the PS4. Like, it's really weird. I think they've just been so weird about it. And, like, kind of, people have called them out on it, and they've just been like, they've just not addressed it.
No.
They've just not said anything. They've continued
because the hype
to
machine
do,
is rolling.
They've continued to do what they do, and I just think it's crazy. But I also, so one thing I do have an issue with in terms of, like, game pricings just in general is how games are priced the same all around the world, but have, like, very different values. So, like, we have to pay for just the PS4 version, £59.99. If we were to convert that to dollars, where they're paying $59, it's $81 we would have to pay for it if we were, like, converting it. And I understand why they do it, but I kind of, it does confuse me when everywhere's the same price, considering how different, like, values are, because it kind of, if we bought it in America and, like, used the dollar system to buy it, it would be much cheaper if we just bought it in America and then, you know, brought it back. I mean, admittedly, bit of a nightmare to do that, but, like, it is kind of one of those things where I understand why, because it's easy just to be like £69 for everyone, but then you're kind of like, but £69 for me is much more expensive.
Yeah, it doesn't translate. That's why the consoles, they always do a pretty good job at, like, translating the consoles across euros and pounds and dollars and so on and so forth. I know Australia plays, like, a lot for their games, and it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. Yeah. I mean, that's always been a bit of a confusing point, but I think it might be a bit more complex in terms of like tax and inflation and all that kind of stuff that I cannot understand. No. And I can't be asked to understand, but at face value, yes, it is way more expensive here than it is in America. And the $10 or the £10 upgrade, it just, or the £10 difference
ridiculous.
But it's free, like, there's a free upgrade if you get the PS. Anyway, to answer Sputnik's question, which was about,
is it poor marketing or is it due to shortages of PS5s?
I don't think it's nothing to do with the shortages of PS5 consoles, because they've done it just as bad but differently previously. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any difference. It's just really weird. I don't know if you think it's anything to do with the shortage.
I don't think it's anything to do with the shortage. I think it is just like, they're like, well, this is the PS5 version. PS5's a newer console, therefore it's more expensive. I think if there was an obvious difference of, like, you know, content or just game-wise in general, wasn't just that it, like, plays better and you've got better optics and stuff, I think that, okay, fine, charge £10 for it. But if it's exactly the same game, it just looks better and plays a bit better on a PS5, then there's no reason to charge £10 more for it.
No.
I mean, I kind of understand with the Uncharted remaster that they did. It was a remaster, wasn't it?
It was.
I kind of understand them charging £10 for that, for anyone who already owns the game, because obviously they did have to, like, pay people to work on it and, like, remaster it. So that I kind of understand. But this, I don't understand and I don't agree with at all. I think everyone's made the same game. So why is it going to be £10 more expensive?
This is why I think it's just so confusing that they've decided to change tact almost. Because while unpopular, £10 for an upgrade is still a pretty good deal if you own the original. You know, yes, it's free elsewhere, so you could rightfully be annoyed about that.
Yeah.
And that's totally understandable. But £10 for a next-gen updated version of a game that you already own isn't awful. And it's still playable via backwards compatibility anyway, so you can still just play it that way.
And if you bought the game, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, then...
Yeah, I bought Uncharted 4 at launch, and I haven't played it since then. That's
been a while, so you've not had to pay anything for the game in quite a while.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, they're like, please can have £10 more because we made a new game for you. Same game, but new game. Can we have £10 more, please?
Exactly. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but it's not as bitter a pill to swallow as...
This game comes out tomorrow.
As accidentally putting down your money for the PS5 version, not knowing that you could get the PS4 version for £10 less and get a free upgrade. It goes into another topic of conversation about how Sony and I think 2K are the only two companies that have committed to charging $70 for next-gen or current-gen now titles. That's also very unpopular. And I do think other companies are going to reach that point first. But do you really want to be the first?
No.
And do you really want to be the first and then sell the last gen version for £10 cheaper and then offer a free upgrade? That's such confused and mixed messaging.
I think £70 is so much for a game anyway.
It is.
And like...
It is a lot.
I know that games are getting bigger and more expensive and more difficult and more... Like, they take a lot more work to make. However, like you say... You can't charge £70 for a new gen game and then on the same day that it comes out, but give everyone who bought the game that's £10 cheaper everything that £10 is for free. Like you categorically, that's so dodgy, Sony. Yeah.
It's not good. And so I ask you, Ashton, are you getting the PS4 or PS5 version?
I'm getting the PS4 version.
Right. I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously. You're getting it digitally or physically?
I'm getting it digitally because me and my partner obviously live 180 miles away from each other. And if we get one copy of the game on digital, we can just both play it. We don't have to get two copies of the game. Yep. So, yeah, I think it's so dodgy. And, like, they have no justification for doing it at all. And
it doesn't make sense. It's just confusing for... your loyalist customers, I suppose, or just your user base, full stop. My cousin didn't know that the Uncharted, what was it called? Lost Legacy? Legacy of Thieves Collection that includes Lost Legacy and Uncharted 4. He didn't realize it wasn't a new game.
Oh.
And he played Lost Legacy and 4. And he ended up and this is his fault. I'm not saying it's Sony's fault, but just anecdotally, he ended up not doing the £10 upgrade, buying it full price, and then sending me a message saying, "Is this a new one? Because like I can remember quite a few things." And I was like, "Yeah, bud." But at least it was only a 10. He was like, "What?" Like, yeah, if you own either of the originals, it's a £10 to upgrade. And he's like, "Oh man, I just bought this full price. I didn't know.
No.
I didn't know." So maybe there's an argument for perhaps across the board, whatever the hell their strategy is meant to be, it needs to be communicated better to people. It needs to be more clearly communicated in those marketing pieces, in all adverts at the end. It should say £10 upgrade fee, or buy the PS4 version and you get it for free, you know, get a free upgrade for £10, whatever the hell it is they want to do. However, one final thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also answering Sputnik's question, it is cold in here, isn't it?
It is a bit chilly.
Answering Sputnik's question about who is going to buy the PS5 version when you could just get the PS4 version and get a free upgrade
people
for £10
nice
less.
Box.
I know someone who is. My friend, Rashid, whose birthday it was yesterday.
Oh my God, happy birthday for yesterday, Rashid.
Happy birthday, Rashid, for yesterday. He is really looking forward to Horizon Forbidden West, and he has put down a pre-order for the physical PS5 version. And when we told him, you know, you can just get the PS4 one for £10 cheaper, he said, £10 is not an amount of money that bothers me in terms of missing out on. And also, I want the box for my shelf with the white PS5 label and stuff. And in those instances, I sort of get it. Like there are people out there who will know this and not care. The problem is that there'll be that much many more.
Who don't know
that
it.
That much many more.
That many more.
That many more. Who don't know about it and really do care after the fact when they find out that they could have paid £10 less.
I think if I was getting it physically, I'd buy a PS5 version just because I would want it on the PS5 shelf.
Yes.
Like to be like, this is my nice PS5 game. Look, it's so nice.
Yeah.
But like, I think buying it digitally, there's no reason. Maybe one day I'll buy the PS5 version, like
when it's cheap,
in physical copy when it's cheaper, and not 70 whole pounds. Yeah, but I think it's. I mean, 60 quid is already a lot of money for a game, and I think that charging £10 for literally nothing is. Sony being dodgy.
Sony's cross-gen strategy is flipping stupid and makes no sense and has ruffled feathers at every turn, and they are not communicating it well enough to the people who want to buy their games.
No.
And they're only going to create the opposite of goodwill. Bad will? I don't know what it would be. What would the term be?
But goodwill.
Peter, what's the opposite
Peter,
of goodwill?
What's the opposite of goodwill?
Bad will. They're just resentment. It's not the opposite, but similar. No. Anyway,
it's a synonym.
They are going to generate a lot of resentment among their loyalist users, and that's really stupid. So I don't know why they would do that, and they need to buck their ideas up. Quite frankly,
stop being silly.
When God of War rolls around, and that's on PS4 as well, presumably, I think they've confirmed that now.
I think it might be on both. Yeah,
we'll have to see what they do there. If it's similarly stupid, then I don't know what they're doing. The people there clearly don't know what they're doing, or they're willfully misleading people for the hopes of getting, you know,
£10 more.
Exactly, just sort of getting some extra pennies out of everyone.
I do think it wouldn't have been as bad if they didn't offer a free PS5 upgrade with the PS4. Like, if they were like, the PS4 version is the PS4 version, but if you want the PS5 upgrade, you know, you have to buy the PS5 version.
Yeah, you have to pay a tenner, which brings it up to the same price as the PS5 version.
Which is, I mean, like, okay, fine. But if you're going to offer it for free, that's when you're mugging everyone off.
Yes. You really
Sony.
Are.
Sony, you're mugging everyone
feel
off.
Stupid for buying a PS5 now, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it in a skip. Stupid.
Mugged off.
Stupid idiots. Anyway, that's the podcast. Let us know what you've thought of all of the things we've talked about this week in the comments. And Ashton is going to tell you some various other places you can find us as well.
You can find us on the internet at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. On YouTube, we put videos up and we stream on both. We'll talk about that in a minute. When we stream on Twitch and YouTube, we're modded by Lord Brodovich, Traveling Badger, and Mr. Black. If you have a free Twitch sub, which comes with the Amazon Prime subscription, you can use that on us if you fancy. Costs you no extra money, and we get a little bit out of Jeff Bezos' pocket.
Costs Bezos money.
Yes. Well, he probably gets a portion of it anyway, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, they own
it's nice for
Twitch,
us.
But yes, it is nice for us.
If you want to follow us on Twitter or Facebook, go to twitter.com/TeamTripleJump. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. We only get to 10,000 very, very soon. We put video announcements and live stream announcements on both, well, mainly on Twitter, but we have some stuff going on Facebook as well.
Loads of stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, and one day soon we'll do another Facebook Live.
Come on.
We will. We just keep not getting around to it because we're so busy.
Well, maybe if we get 10,000 followers.
Maybe if we get 10,000 followers, we'll do a big live stream on Facebook.
Ashton dyes her hair a different color.
Yeah, I've done my hair a different color. And there's some legacy video content going out on Facebook as well. If you want to be a patron and join the wonderful Patreon team, you go to patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Check out all the tiers. Maybe subscribe for a little $1 a month. You can ask questions of the podcast if you fancy. We have a website. It's triplej.mup, that's triplej.mp, spells jump. If you want to join our Discord and talk to all of our wonderful community members, it's triplej.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes, and if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it!
Do it.
If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, maybe you've got a game coming out this weekend and you want to listen to something while you're playing it to keep you company because you're not talking to anyone. You just want to play the game. Go to triplej.mup/podcast to find out where you can listen to it in all of its audio forms. If you want to watch one of some of our live stream VODs, we do a lot of live streams a week, and if you miss one, that's okay. That's all right. You
can
go to triplejump.mp/VODs. And last but not least, if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, like this Sick and Cool merch. You can go to triplejumpshop.com to look at all the new merch and all the stuff that's up. And lastly, if you follow Triple Jump Shop on Twitter, you can find out when the next merch drop is happening and tweet us about the new merch that you bought, and we will like it and tell you look pretty.
Yeah, we will. Promise. We will. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Twitter and Instagram at that Peter Austin and at Scrambled Ashton. Tweet Peter Austin at that Peter Austin. Hey Peter, hope your poop tum feels better.
Drink with lots two of
poops
water. In there.
Hope your poop tum feels better.
Yeah.
You can follow myself just on Twitter at confused_dude. Or if you use PlayStation Network and for some reason like to follow accounts, you can do that on there, same handle. Lists, we do those every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We do streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, the other streams being solo streams. On Twitch, Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the time. Check it out. Why not leave a review, a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Busy old week, isn't it? All sorts going on.
Hey, follow us on Facebook, firstly. Yeah. And we'll put Hunky Boys list out on Monday. It has been flagged.
It has been flagged for limited ads because it's too sexy.
Hopefully we'll be unlimited by now.
I don't know. YouTube tends to be pretty draconian with its thing.
You can still watch it if you want. We just won't make as much money from the ads.
Go watch it twice. Have it running in several browsers.
Yeah.
That'll be the way.
That'd be great.
It's a great video. It's also a cursed
video. So cursed. Cat is going to hell.
It's the Valentine's Day video, so go check that out. It's also a Worst Games Ever week.
Mm.
Peter, despite his plops, is still appearing in video form on Friday for patrons, just gone out, and Sunday for everyone else, so go watch that. You will have made a quip scope about Horizon by now, telling us about how you feel about it.
Yeah, I'm taking Friday off. I'm going to come in for an hour, record a quipscope, and then go home and play more Horizon, because Aloy is life. Aloy is love.
Absolutely.
We also have a really random thing happening right now. Peter is selling a painting that he did on his art stream this week, an NFT monkey thing. We've signed it.
Yep.
Billy signed it, yeah. You can buy it on eBay.
I've got a link.
The link.
bit.ly/chimp eBay, all lowercase. Chimp eBay. You can put the bidding in. I think it finishes on next Thursday.
Mm.
So if you want a one-of-a-kind physical piece of NFT art signed by us, go get your bits.
It's an NFT in real life.
It's a real-life NFT. It's real.
You can hold it with your hands.
One final thing is that there may well have been, providing he can get it working, a quipscope as well on Warhammer 3, I think.
Total War
Warhammer 3, I believe is the full title. James is playing that currently, so fingers crossed we managed to get it working. We couldn't quite get the quipscope out on the Thursday as planned, but maybe on the Friday. Two quipscope Friday.
Maybe.
May well have also heard it on the podcast feed too.
Yes.
Anyway, go check it all out. There's just enough time for us to talk about this week's sponsor once again.
What's this week's sponsor, Ben? This week's sponsor?
Because it's Valentine's Day, Nintendo have released a limited apparel line, one of which is tying into Pokemon Legends Arceus. It's called Pokemon Legends Arcless Chaps. So you can look nice and sexy for your Valentine.
Mm, indeed.
Done. We're done. We're out of here.
Finish.
Have a nice rest of your weekend, and we'll catch you next week, everybody.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.